Hello and welcome everyone to Combox, episode 2 of the Long Hair Club. Here I'm Kazi, who you can find at Def Mango on Twitter, and Jared Kimber, who you can find absolutely everywhere.
We should have brought your Def Mango. And
just... We should have brought a mango, yeah, a printout or something. But we are here today to preview Pakistan's upcoming three-match test series in England. They haven't toured for test cricket since 2020. It was that COVID series, so it's been 6 years. And Pakistan in the last 40 years have had a fair amount of success in England, right? 1987, they win their first ever test series over here under Imran Khan's captaincy. Then they complete the three-peat. They win in 92, they win in 96. And it's been 30 years since they haven't won a test series in England. They've drawn three series. But, you know, generally, it is an entertaining series. Pakistan versus England in England. These are two incredibly flawed teams, though, Jared. And I think we can expect a lot of chaos. And maybe the team that makes lesser mistakes wins this?
Yeah, I suppose we don't know how England's going to play, right?
Yeah.
So that's... I think that's the biggest concern as far as trying to work out what the hell's going to go on in this series. I'm also not sure how Pakistan's going to play.
Yeah.
So we have ended up with maybe two Pakistans playing each other, or maybe two Baisbolian England teams playing against each other, in that you're just not really sure how to do a proper preview for this. What happens with McCullum not there? Sometimes when you get an interim coach, everyone plays up because they know that the real coach is coming up soon. Other times, you know, it can be the opposite and there's confusion with an interim coach. Mark Trescothick, it is Trescothick.
Yes, it is Trescothick because Fleming will join from December.
Yeah. I think with Tresco, he's been around the team long enough to at least everyone will he come in and go, look, guys, can we just not do this and this?
Yeah.
The Joss Butler, Stuart Broad podcast, with Ben Stokes, which is fascinating. We could do a whole podcast on that. But one of the things he did say was, like, they've spent a lot of time telling Harry Brook to stop playing Harry Brook shots. So is Tresco going to be able to change this? Like, at this stage, is this team just grooved into this style of play and there's nothing he can do? And with Pakistan's case, I actually don't know what Pakistan do.
Yeah. I mean, look.
Like, what's their plan? Because most of their wins have come on the back of having shitload of spinners.
Honestly, that's the only way they've won tests recently. Yeah. Even this recent test match that they won in Trinidad, Queen's Park Oval, right? It was because the West Indies curated a surface that actually helped Pakistan.
Yeah.
And Sajid came into play. Now, he, on his own, I think, probably deserves a podcast at some point with the crazy eyes and the aura farming. But I do feel that Pakistan are in one of their worst ruts ever in test cricket. They actually made an unwanted record recently. 8 away test losses, right? Consecutive. And then they broke that drought with that victory in Trinidad, and they leveled the series 1-1. But it's not a team which is uberly confident. They've struggled to take 20 wickets at times. The batting on paper somewhat looks okay, but you haven't really seen that batting come through in test matches. And on the other hand, you know, Bazball's dead, and it's officially dead because Baz is gone. You can't have Bazball without Baz. Although England probably won't just go back to boring old England. They'll have some sort of a hybrid solution, play the situation, I assume, better. Attack at points and then weather the storm other times. I feel like that's what they should do. But then Joe Root is back as captain. He doesn't like captaincy. Expect Jofra Archer to be run to the ground.
Well, what we saw in the test that he captained recently was that he basically went back to the way that Root always captained, which is Jofra into the ground, not really trusting the bowlers he doesn't trust, going with part-time spin to sort of like, as a way of getting through things. And it didn't really work for him, right, at that stage. But, you know, I'll turn off the sound on this. So it is confusing. You know, both of these teams are in such a flux. It could be a wildly entertaining series. Or one team could absolutely monumentally shit the bed.
Yeah, I mean, look, Pakistan, they came pretty close in that COVID series. The second and third test matches were draws. And the one test match they lost, they should have won, right? That's when Azhar Ali was captain and they never tried bouncers. And Wokes and Butler chased the target down. They chased out 270, 280. And this is before Bazball. That was still a significant target that, you know, wasn't so easy to chase down.
What ground was that at?
I want to say Manchester, Old Trafford. It was either that or Southampton. Because I don't think any other grounds featured in that tour.
I mean, I'm trying to remember. Yeah, it must have been, yeah.
Yeah, they had the ones which had hotels like joined or something.
No, you're right.
Either way, I feel like Pakistan obviously are, you know, what, second last on the table in the World Test Championship rankings. England are also in flux, in absolute tatters, if we're being real. I mean, they should have probably sacked Stokes and McCullum after the Ashes. They didn't do that. Now they're confused. They've got an interim head coach. They've probably got an interim captain as well. I'm not sure how long Root is going to continue. Maybe till the end of the cycle?
Yes.
But they don't care about the cycle. They don't even acknowledge the World Test Championship.
No, I think their cycle's probably at the end of the next Ashes.
Isn't yeah.
It? So maybe, yeah. So look, that's why I find, it's a really interesting series. I don't do a lot of research coming in, but I remember someone asked me to do something for them and I looked at it and went, I won't be able to do research on this, guys. I'm going to have to wait to see what happens because, I just think there's too many unknowns at the moment with how this is going to play. I'd off the top of my head, I can't really give you a template on how Pakistan would win test matches consistently in England based on how they're played. But I also can't really give you a template on how England would just sweep aside a side. So,
true. I feel like one of these teams is going to win the series 2-1. That's what I'm feeling.
I mean, I kind of feel like England wins 2-1, but Pakistan wins early enough that we go, oh, maybe they're going to win and then they don't.
Yeah, that sounds pretty realistic. In one match, Pakistan get absolutely drubbed.
Yeah.
One game they should win and lose, and then one game they're really good.
That's kind of how I see it, but it's a lot of this is just on vibes. Like, I wish I could give you, like, you know, really, like, what's their seam bowling attack?
Pakistan's seam bowling attack is obviously new, right? Mohammad Abbas should have played at least 50 test matches, but he's only featured in 30. If he doesn't play every test in the series, then clearly they don't know what he's all about.
I mean, I'm going to assume he plays every test.
He has to, right? He didn't play the second test match in the West Indies.
We're all aware of that.
Yeah, so...
If you're not aware of that, you should be.
He was in a press conference and he said, Pakistan should play more tests. And then they bench him from the next one, which is ironic. I think given his experience in England, he should feature in every
test. That's what I mean. So he's the reason I think he can win a test match on his own.
Yeah.
In the UK. Best county bowler by a distance for a long period of time. I suppose the only thing he will have to deal with is, not that he will have to deal with it, but how good is the wicketkeeper going to be at the stumps?
Yeah, because that's something where, you know, England have been exposed. We saw New Zealand do it. We saw Scotty Boland and Michael Nisa do it. Are Pakistan even thinking along those lines? That's another question.
They have to be.
Are they aware that when you bring the keeper up to the stumps, you can pin Harry Brooke LBW, right? Like, these are things that I really hope they've caught on to. Because it's going to be an important ploy, especially with Mohammad Abbas. But Mohammad Abbas is your stock bowler, wobble seam, metronomic, is going to get the ball to nip off the deck in either direction, challenge both edges. He's got similar-ish bowlers to partner him. They're not as good as Abbas, but Mohammad Ali, you might have caught a bit of him. Strong lad, puts in a lot of effort, bowls with a lot of heart, but he's also a stock bowler who has a heavy ball.
Yeah.
Like, I often see batters just hit one and then they take the glove off and they kind of just shake it off. So that tells me that, you know, it stings at times and his name is Mohammad Ali Daisy, so maybe he does sting like a bee. Who knows? Right? Khurram Shahzad is interesting. He can swing the ball in the air. He can seam the ball off the deck in either direction as well. But he's injury prone, loses steam in, around the third spell. And also, he's averaging 27. He's a bit more leaky for that kind of bowler.
One thing I would say is you don't need to bowl long spells against England, though.
That's also fair. And then Ubaid Shah is like a, I don't know, it's an interesting pick because Pakistan don't have an enforcer. They don't have someone who can crack the pace up and force wickets, right? Or manufacture wickets like that. No flat deck bowlers, per se. Ubaid Shah is someone who is young, really raw, could be that guy, but I saw him in his third spell and he was like bowling my pace, right? So that's also an issue. And then you've got Ahmed Jamal, who's a pace bowling all-rounder who hasn't done well in recent times. So Pakistan's bowling is heavily reliant on Abbas and then those two other guys.
Yeah.
Mohammad Ali and Khurram Shahzad. And then Sajid should be the frontline spinner if they play one. But then I'm not sure how many surfaces Pakistan are going to get that you play a frontline spinner, right?
You've been here. What's my backyard look like?
Very dry. If you're upset with the grass at Beckenham, we are 15 minutes away and the grass at Jared's is like sad.
Yeah. I mean, there's a football ground behind me that's, I don't even know how they play on it. It's like a football ground in Asia or in the northern part of Australia. It's so rock hard here at the moment. That's a good help.
Yeah.
I think. I think you can get something out of that. But then you look at the bowling attack on the other side.
Which is featuring like 7 fast bowlers. They picked a lot of them, right? Matthew Fisher, Ollie Robinson, Gus Atkinson, Josh Tung, Bryden Cass, Jofra Archer. And there's one more guy that I can't remember.
Sam Cook. Yeah. So if you're picking that many seamers, you don't know what you're doing.
Yep.
Right? And they shouldn't know what they're doing because they don't have a coach or a captain. And so I think that's one thing that's very fair to look at. But then separate to that as well, it's one-dimensional in a very different way, right? Which is very hit the pitch. It's, you know, very pace. I think if Gus Atkinson keeps his fitness. He bowled really well when he was fit this summer. No issues with Gus Atkinson when he's fit. I think he's a fantastic bowler. My issue is he just can't be 100% fit all the time.
Yeah, and
the
Ollie Robinson as well.
Yeah, and the minute he's 95% fit. Ollie Robinson's good, but he's not as good as Mohammed Abbas.
Yeah.
Right? Especially in the third and fourth spell.
I don't have a Josh Tung though.
But Josh Tung...
No X-factor bowler who can wipe off the tail. Pakistan struggled big time wiping off tails, by the way.
You've got Josh Tung... You've got Bryden Cass available to you. You've got Jofra. It's a bit more of a structured bowling attack if Ollie Robinson can play and do the job that they want him to do correctly. Or Sam Cook, whichever one of those that they sort of go with. But yeah, there's lots of questions there. There's talent within that England attack. I'm still not sure it's a 20 wicket a game consistent attack though.
Yeah, well, I mean, they've got Bash as well. It's surprising they didn't pick Rehan. I thought they'd pick Rehan, play him as a spin bowling option, who's also an all-rounder, so there's some batting over there.
Yeah.
But they've gone Shoaib Bashir. Maybe Sam Curran comes in the fold by the third test match. Who's to say? One of the Overton brothers. I think one of them still plays red ball cricket.
So Craig is the one, but the problem with... There's nothing wrong with Craig's cricket. He's been playing fantastically recently and he's been batting really well. But I don't think he can bat at number 7 in test cricket.
Yeah, but they don't have a Stokes replacement.
Right, so... That's what I mean. I don't think Overton actually replaces that role. Whereas Curran or Rehan Ahmed can replace that role. Even if you thought Overton was the more informed player. I think it's interesting that they haven't gone with the all-rounders.
Yeah.
In general. So that puts a lot of pressure on the frontline bowlers again, though.
And what is Dan Lawrence going to do? Bowl a lot or not?
Well,
because knowing Pakistan, Dan Lawrence will end up with a 5-for-1 innings, right? It'll happen.
I mean, I can't imagine that Dan Lawrence...
He's done well with the bat, to be fair to him. He's earned his stripes coming back into the team. Dan Lawrence at 6 tells me they want him to bowl some overs. And Jordan Cox at 3 is very wild. Now, Jacob Bethel obviously is injured. So that's why they've got Jordan Cox at 3. But has he ever batted at 3?
He has in other formats. I don't know if he has in first class cricket. I can't bring this up now. But yeah, no, he certainly has in other places. Yeah, look, Dan Lawrence is not going to change the series, is he? I'm not saying he won't have a spell where maybe he does something, but he has 64 wickets in 153 matches at 47.
Yeah.
I mean, he might be doing better this year. I mean, I would have to have a look at that.
I think they've probably picked him for his batting, though. And Root will probably roll over his arm a bit.
So the last 5 times he played in T20 cricket, he's taken 1 wicket.
That does not make for good reading. I know he scored a 200 or something in the county championship.
Yeah, his batting's fine.
Yeah, his batting's good. And Jordan Cox at 3 is a big gamble. But then Ollie Pope is back in the squad and he might play. Did you read the story where he was having a chat with his partner and he was discussing their futures, and at that very moment he gets that message that you've been picked, and they were like, all right, this is interesting.
Look, I've said this for a while with him sorry, we're just getting a message. I've been talking for a while for him. He's coming into his peak years. You don't get rid of someone like Ollie Pope, but at the same time, they have to know what he is and who he is. I'm not sure this is the team to come back in, but we'll have a short break.
Yep. See you guys after about 16 seconds.
Cricket boards actually make watching their games almost impossible. I spend almost as much time trying to find where I can view it as I do actually following the action. That is why I use NordVPN. They let me find all the cricket I want to watch while protecting me from the nasty side of the internet. Nord will free your cricket matches. Grab your exclusive NordVPN deal by going to nordvpn.com/goodareas to get a huge discount off your NordVPN plan plus 4 additional months on top. It's completely risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Watch every match with NordVPN.
Welcome back to Combox, where the game lives on. Jared and I are currently previewing Pakistan's upcoming 3-match test series in England. And, you know, we've discussed England a fair bit. I think the batting is still leaky. A lot depends on Root and Brook. And to be fair to Root and Brook, they do well versus Pakistan. So that's one area covered. Jamie Smith's still the keeper. They bat till 7, but no all-rounders. Pakistan have a similar issue, right? Salman Ali Agha is probably going to be the number 7 and he doesn't bowl much either. So you're probably depending more so on your frontline bowlers. But like, the combination will be interesting. Will a frontline spinner feature for each team? Because it's been dry in England, but over in Leeds, it's been raining a lot.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't think you're seeing it in the first test.
Yeah, you might see a four-pronged pace attack in the first test, because I was talking to Harmy and he said that Headingley could be flat, but cloud cover will dictate how that test goes. If you have overcast conditions, then the bowlers could really, you know, get a lot of assistance. Mm. Lords has been diabolical for batting.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they will revert to some sort of flat deck or they will continue to keep things spicy. That remains to be seen. And Edgbaston's probably going to be flat, isn't it?
I would assume so, yeah.
Yeah.
I think you probably get your most... I mean, Lords has been a lot for the women's test. I haven't watched a lot of Middlesex play this year, so I don't know what's been going on there. But it did spin a lot there. So there is a chance at Lords, if it is a flat one, that it will assist the spinners a little bit. Edgbaston, you'll need a spinner just because you'll need the overs. Headingley, from what we know at the moment and with the dampness around, I would assume you're going to see all seam.
Yeah, I think Pakistan will probably go that direction as well. And if they can play Sajid in any test match, that might, you know, favour them, because he's one of those guys who's actually won Pakistan test matches.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a situation where you have to pick a spinner and it's him against Shoaib Bashir, like, that's a huge advantage for Pakistan.
True. And I mean, Shoaib Bashir remarkably has held on to his spot even after Baz and Stokes have left. But it's, I think, in a situation where it's not a four-pronged pace attack, I think Pakistan will have that slight edge over there. But when it is a four-pronged pace attack, I feel like England have more varied options. Pakistan's attack is more one-dimensional. There are lots of stock bowlers. Weirdly enough, first they were only going guys who could bowl the magic ball. And there were no stock bowlers. They didn't play Abbas for so many years. Imagine Mohammad Abbas didn't play that test series in Australia, right? Like, he should have played in that test series.
I mean, don't get me started. I think the mistreatment of Mohammad Abbas. So we're making a video of it for this summer.
Yeah.
Me and Byron have already been working on it. And it's a classic case of a situation of a team not understanding what was happening in the world.
Yeah. Also, he can assist wickets. He can just build up pressure from one end and other people will pick up wickets, right?
It's 10 years ago, a bowler like Mohammad Abbas would not have been of much of use to you unless he was in Vernon Philander form.
Yeah.
And occasionally he was. Now, it's like every team wants a Mohammad Abbas more than they almost want a genuine fast bowler.
True.
Right?
I mean, if Scotty Boland was an Australian, he would have played a lot more as well. I mean, he might still feature in that second test match. But anyway, coming to Pakistan's batting, because we've talked about how the bowling can be one-dimensional, and England maybe have the edge if all seamers are playing. And I mean, I expect Pakistan to win one of the Headingley or Lord's tests, because I feel like if it's flat at Edgbaston, England are winning that. They are the better team playing on flatter decks, right? And they were curating flat decks as well. We saw flat decks summer versus India. However, Pakistan's batting on paper looks all right, right? They haven't done much in recent times. I know Rizwan and Silvan Aliaga were amongst the runs, but the runs have dried up there big time. Those guys are out of form now. Babar Azam, we could go on and on and on. We have no idea.
Player of the series.
Yeah, could be. I mean, he's injured.
No, he was player of the series in the West Indies.
He was joint player of the series with Justin Greaves.
Yeah.
Who, again, we should probably do something on someday. Remarkable cricketer. Mm. Babar Azam injures his middle finger, I reckon, in the practice game at Beckenham. Yeah, there you go. I think he'll still play because he'll probably like stitch him up, give him some painkillers. Yeah, I think Babar will surely
play. Unless it's a case where he can't grip the bat correctly.
Yeah.
Batters are quite used to playing with broken fingers. Mm. It's just a case of whether you can do it. Like sometimes you can't grip correctly or sometimes the impact hurts you.
Mm.
But generally, players play with broken fingers far more than the general public would know.
I don't think his finger is broken, but they're still doing scans and they haven't made a call.
It may not just be, but busted fingers you can bat with.
Yeah.
It depends on the player and how they grip.
And it is, you know, Babar Azam, who's Pakistan's best batter or should be Pakistan's best batter. And he's the captain. So I don't think like they're going to bench him.
Cut it off. Get him out there.
Yeah. Shahid Masood also fractured his finger, by the way.
Yeah.
He was in form. And if he doesn't feature in the Headingley test, that's all those years at Yorkshire going to waste. Right? This is the test match he waited for.
Yeah.
He scores that 150 in that same series I was talking about, 2020. Gets a gig at Derbyshire, does well, gets a gig at Yorkshire, does really well in the county circuit. And now when it's time for him to have his moment under the sun, he's got a fractured finger.
To be honest, as long as they can get a couple of tests out of him, you know that years ago, me and Sean spent some time chatting about how he played in England.
Hmm.
He has worked it out, right? And the first time he came here, he looked about as bad as any player I've seen in England.
2016, right?
Yeah.
This is the push-up series.
Yeah, was it that series?
Pretty sure.
And to get to where he is now, it's a testament to his work ethic and probably helps that he's got some money behind him and he can do some things.
Yeah.
But lots of people who have money behind behind them don't do the work. He does the work.
Hmm. And plus, he's not captain anymore, so he can probably express himself a bit more. Although, he has been batting like this for a while, where he's like, okay, I'm going to go for my runs. If I get them, well and good. If I don't, well, that's that. Imam Ul Haq is a bit of an issue. Away form is really poor. Not just away form, like away history. Yeah. He's really poor away from home, doesn't even average 30. And recently, he scored this knock of 63 in the West Indies. That was the second highest score away from home. You know what the first one was? The best score he's had away from home?
I feel like I was at a test match. Yes. Was it Ireland?
Malahide.
Yeah.
His debut test match, he scores an unbeaten knock of 74 over there.
Because I remember, the reason I remember it is not even a proper cricket reason, but it's because Mal Farrell kept saying, we've got to talk to Imam Ul Haq. He's really desperate to talk to us. And I was just like, he's not very good, Mal. Like this before, like, you know, I was like, what am I going to talk to him about? Like, he hasn't played much at this point. I don't really have anything. And she's like, oh, he's a really nice guy. And I was like, there's lots of really nice guys. Yeah. And then he made runs and like, and did talk in the end to us anyway. And so, yeah, it was quite, I remember that, a lot, but look, he's a flawed player with an incredible eye. But
he just gets out far too frequently chasing at balls he doesn't need to chase.
Don't we all?
It's a bit of a theme. But I mean, oh, he's chasing me. So if Shan is fit, I wouldn't blame Imam. The other opener who's really young and has done really well at first class cricket, right? Azana Wes, compact, plays within himself, really, really good offside player and can nudge the ball around on the onside. He was averaging close to 50 in domestic cricket, first class cricket. And then he's done well at international level as well. He's a couple of bad test matches, but scored 100 on test debut. And in this last test match that Pakistan won, it was a really attractive 55, right? He surely plays all three test matches because you want to blood a new youngster. I think you pair him up with Shan because Abdullah Shafiq is back and he's batted at first drop and scored 184 runs unbeaten versus the West Indies, including that knock of 160. Mm. And he's someone who passes the eye test, really, really aesthetically pleasing. He's never batted in England. And I think like we can't really make much of him right now.
No, I think that's fair. Yeah. Look, I think that batting's a bit of a crapshoot, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how it will go. I'm excited for the possibilities that brings along. They'll get a lot of bad balls. They'll get a lot of bad balls. This England team will give them some shit.
Yep.
So if they're
short and wide,
if they're disciplined and they know what they're doing, they shouldn't be blown away. But England can also get on a roll. Like, you know, if you've got Atkinson and Tung and Archer and, you know, even Cook. I know he hasn't done much in test level, but Cook or Robertson, those guys get on a roll. Mm. They really get on a roll.
Yeah.
And that's the issue if Pakistan can't stand up. But I just don't know what to make of any of these teams, really. It's not what I thought England would do. I thought they would try all-rounders before Fleming came.
Yeah.
I know that Fleming will probably try all-rounders because he loves an all-rounder. and I don't know how Pakistan wants to win games when the pitch isn't spinning.
Yeah, that's the major question, I feel like. And, you know, the batting, again, if you go with Shan, Azan and Abdullah, top three, or if Imam plays and Shan's not fit enough, you've got Babar at four, potentially Saud Shakil at five, who was doing really well and then the runs dried up, but he scored 100 in the practice game. So at least they have that. And he's coming back after injury. So they'll be hoping Saud can score some runs. And then it's the Rizwan and Salman question because they've been out of runs and Salman Aliaga is a half-rounder, as Varun loves to say. He's not going to bowl very many overs.
No.
Having him at seven means that you're really trusting those four seam bowlers or you know, one frontline spinner and three seam bowlers now. And that could be an issue. I feel like balance could really screw Pakistan over because they're also the kind of team that needs some batting depth, right? Like, you can't just go with batters till six and then five bowlers with them. They will collapse. They still do collapse,
they probably
by the way.
Do need a fifth bowler, but I probably would just back my four bowlers and see how I go at the start of the series.
Yeah, otherwise you drop Salman for Amir Jamal, but he's not very good with the bat either. So that these are tough questions to answer. And Pakistan has a balance issue, but then so do England. And the good thing for Pakistan is that they should look at the series as an opportunity. England are down and they could capitalize. Hmm. But then again, it's Pakistan.
Yeah, both of these teams are more than capable of shooting themselves in their own foot than shitting on that and getting an infection and dying.
Basically. But anyway, let's end the show with some predictions, shall we? Who do you think is going to be the top run scorer in the series?
You. Brooke.
Okay, I'll go Joe Root.
They're both good at cricket.
Yeah. I can tell you this now, Joe Root will score a double 100 in the series at some point. He loves Pakistan when he's on a roll. Harry Brooke scored a triple too, so it's interesting with Brooke. He scored like these 50s, 60s and 70s, but hasn't really gone on to score a big one. Maybe that big one's just around the corner. Highest wicket taker?
Abbas.
Same. I think Mohammad Abbas, if he plays all three tests, should be highest wicket taker player of the series.
Abbas.
I'm going to go Dan Lawrence.
Jesus, okay.
Yeah, I mean, if it's series versus Pakistan, someone will Marcus North it. And my Marcus North for this series is Dan Lawrence.
No one is more Marcus North than Dan Lawrence.
Yes.
You heard it here first.
Scoreline prediction.
I'll go 2-1 England. I think that means fair.
Yeah.
I just can't see how they win 3-0 and I can't see how Pakistan win the series.
Same. As much as I want to say 2-1 Pakistan, it would be a great tour for me personally, having come here and to witness that, and for the first time in 30 years, Pakistan win a test series in England. I don't see it happening because as flawed as England are, Pakistan might just be a bit more flawed than them, you know?
Flawed.
Yeah, I mean, England have tried their best to out-Pakistan.
Yeah.
But I don't think they can still achieve that. You can never out-Pakistan.
Fuck, they've given it a good shot recently, mate. I don't know. Jeez.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of drop catches in the series, right? Rob Barron and I are about to go crazy.
Yeah, it could be fun. You and Rob Barron are sharing a house, by the way. I don't know if people know this. We're going to put up a 24-hour stream.
Yep. Talk about drop catches all the time. He messaged me the other day. He was like, should I bring computer games? And I was like, if you've got an old cricket one, like Brian Lara 99 or something, but I don't really care about shooting games and stuff.
Hmm.
But I think he does.
He cares about lots of things.
Yeah, he said, or we could just drink some beer like adults. I was like, yeah, that sounds all right. But anyway, that's it for this show. Let us know what your predictions are for highest run scorer, wicket taker, scoreline, all of that stuff in the comment section below. And we hope that it's a thrilling series. I hope that there's a lot of chaos, weirdly. I want this to be a crazy, weird series because that just makes for fun content.
Yeah, the New Zealand series didn't go the way that kind of anyone thought it would go.
Yeah.
It'd be great if England had another series like that.
Mm. And I mean, we'll see what life after baseball looks like. That's on everyone's radar. Will Ben Duckett leave deliveries? Will he not? Who's to say? Anyway, see you guys soon enough. Till then, have a good one. Like, follow, subscribe, and yeah, follow Combox everywhere, whatever. And yeah, just have a good one. Take care. Goodbye. See you later.
Thank you for listening to this podcast on the Combox Network. There is an ad-free version of this you can find by supporting us on Patreon at Good Areas Podcast. You can also access our Discord channel there. Please like, subscribe, and rate this show. Every one of these helps us. If there was a guest on a show, you can find their links in the show notes. Huge thanks to Ruckshit, Ishit, and everyone else who helps us get our content out there. If you want to know more about us, head to combox.tv.
If you make a lot of content like me, oh, you are going to need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up incredible clips from your podcasts and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.